sorted out. And with me this morning, we have Eleanor Lister from Berry and Lamberts.
Good morning.
Let me put your microphone up. How's that?
Good morning.
And our subject this morning is building safety in the wake of Grenfell.
Yes, a very, very tragic event that has changed hugely the way that building safety now works, particularly in relation to tall buildings with leasehold flats in them.
Right, let's start with that. Leasehold flats, tall buildings, how does it affect the tenant or
so,
leaseholder?
A very good question, and it's quite difficult to boil down a very enormous and important act into a concise explanation. So let's see how I get on. So what became apparent quite quickly after Grenfell, and I'm sure many listeners will remember this all in the news, was that the building regulations and the fire safety elements just hadn't really been complied with by a lot of the large construction companies that were building properties. What then ended up happening was lots of leaseholders discovered that the flats that they owned already were not safe, and or that the fire safety precautions that had been put in place by their landlords simply weren't good enough. And landlords then, as they were able to under the terms of the various leases, said, well, we need to make sure your building stays safe, let's keep the rolling watches, etc., in place. By the way, we're now going to be hiring 4 people to keep an eye on the building constantly, and you as the leaseholders are going to pay for it. And so people found themselves almost trapped in this situation where their flats were unsaleable because of the very high service charges, but there was nothing they could really do. They were bound to pay these high costs. So in light of that, and of course the tragedy itself, what the Building Safety Act has set out to do is try to help give those people some protection. So what we are looking at in terms of the Building Safety Act is where you are in a building that is more than 11 metres tall or it has 5 or more storeys, and the leases were granted before the 14th of February 2022, a little Valentine's Day treat. Basically, in those situations, there is some protection for leaseholders in terms of how much the landlord is able to charge them for remediating the unsafe buildings, which is fantastic for people in those tall buildings. But for the rest of us, unfortunately, the Building Safety Act still doesn't have enormous amounts of safety provisions. I can see it's riveting, isn't it?
Well, it puts leaseholders in an unenviable position. How would we define a tall building?
So, very, very confusingly, the Building Safety Act uses a totally different definition to the rest of us. And I remember I've had a few debates with colleagues, etc., about the precise interpretation of the Act. Now, effectively, if your building is 5 storeys or more, it is automatically classed as a tall building. For buildings that are 4 storeys, but effectively the height of the stairs from the ground floor up to the top step, which is the landing of that top floor, that needs to be 11 metres or more for the Building Safety Act to kick in.
So stay tuned to the rest of the programme. Don't nip out with a tape measure just yet. But hopefully if you are a leaseholder and your landlord would have been in touch already about this.
So There are a couple of ways that it can work, but effectively there's various different triggers for when the landlord needs to get in touch with you, but there's also triggers for when you need to get in touch with your landlord. Most significantly at the moment is people selling their flats. And what I found, certainly in my experience, is that most people don't even realise that the Building Safety Act gives them these protections. I would hasten to add that's probably because they're in buildings that The reason they don't know about it is because it's not urgent for them to know about it, because these safety issues haven't come up. But what I'm finding is someone buying and selling flats is that then the transactions are very delayed whilst the necessary cogs turn to comply with the Building Safety Act. So for people who are in a tall building, who the landlord is not a tenant-owned management company, and for people whose leases were granted after Valentine's Day 2022, for those people, what they can do is serve on their landlord what's known as a leaseholder deed of certificate, which is effectively a document that you can get help from solicitors, myself included, to try and produce, or you can do it on your own if you've got the information that you need to provide. I think if you Google it, actually, there's enough information, you may be able to have a good crack at it yourself. But what it does is demonstrates to the landlord that you are called a qualifying leaseholder and therefore able to get the protection under the Act. You then serve that on the landlord, and the landlord has 4 weeks to then respond with their response, whether or not there are any issues that the landlord's aware of in terms of building safety and what the proposals are in terms of remedying. And at that point, hopefully, you have a better understanding of what's going on. Where I'm involved, the buyer has a better understanding of what's going on. And you can start to talk about the statutory protections and upper limits for how much you're allowed to be charged with service charges. Because you can still be charged, not, I think, for any remediation work for fire safety issues, such as the Grenfell building had. I think at that point, there's no charge. The landlord isn't able to pass those costs on to you if you are a qualifying leaseholder. Whereas if there are other building safety remediation issues, so, for example, structural stability, etc., at that point, there is upper limits for how much you can charge.
Right, we'll come back to that in a few minutes. We'll get your time to get your breath back. Here's Phil Collins and Too Hard. Olivia Rodrigo and The Vampire. You're listening to West Kent Today on West Kent Radio, 95.5, 106.7 FM, online, on your smart speaker. And today, a special treat, two tin cans and a piece of string. With me is Ellen Lister from Berry & Lambert's Property Division. We've been talking, firstly, about the changes in building safety recommendations or even regulations concerning mainly flats. It doesn't apply to houses, that's quite good, after the Grenfell disaster. So, Eleanor, back to you. Where do we get to? We were looking things up, weren't we?
I had a quick Google to make sure I was giving you the correct limits for the financial side of things. I'm good, but I can't remember everything off the top of my head. so I think where we got to is we've served our leaseholder deed of certificate. The landlord has responded. And so now, for those people that are eligible for the protections, the question is, well, how much do I need to pay? So in terms of cladding or fire safety issues, I think particularly cladding, there should be no charge to you as an individual leaseholder to do any remediation works. And actually, if you've already been charged, for example, for those rolling watches that I mentioned at the beginning, there I believe that the landlord has to actually reimburse people. Now, for building safety issues, which is more about, I suppose, quality of construction and it being safe, again, landlords now have obligations to remediate and make good, which is wonderful news, but wonderful news that comes with a little bit of a price. Now, it was that there was unlimited option for the landlord to charge. So, for example, if you had a building with 10 flats and the works were going to be £1 million to bring things to safety, you would have had to be charged possibly £100,000 each. Whereas the purpose of the Building Safety Act is to impose some upper limits to how much the landlord can pass on to you. and it's complicated. There's lots of different rules. And so if you're in a position where you get a big bill or that you don't understand what the landlord's telling you in relation to your charges, I would urge you to get advice. It may be that Citizens Advice is able to assist, or alternatively, you can come to various different property lawyers to discuss and get a better understanding of your rights and protections as provided by the Building Safety Act. Now, in a nutshell, if you're outside of London, which I imagine most of your listeners are in West Kent, then probably your upper limit is going to be £10,000 for service charges. If you have a high value flat, that does go up. And if you're within London, then it will be £15,000. And again, you have the upper limit changing where you have a higher value flat, on the basis that if you, you know, the government's logic will be, if you can afford a lovely, beautiful £2 million flat, then you can afford to contribute slightly more to the amount that you're required to contribute to the safety of the building that you live in.
Well, I've just bought a £2 million flat and I'm broke.
Oh.
So that's a £2 million flat broke. So that's how I'm working. Let's move on to sort of new development.
Yeah.
Have the building regulations and building control changed to ensure that things are done properly?
Yes, they should have done. And the biggest change as well is accountability. What we saw with Grenfell was that various different people had the finger pointed at them, or various different companies had the finger pointed at them, and everybody then redirected the finger pointing to someone else. Well, it's not our fault, you should talk to so and so. And so what the Building Safety Act does is tries to pin down an accountable party, so that the leaseholders and the people who are actually feeling the real effects of the shoddy workmanship or cutting corners, whatever it happens to be, they now have someone who is accountable. And I think that's a really positive change. In terms of the building regulations, I'm not a planning lawyer. If I started to try and talk about those, I'd be making things up. So
it seems that, you know, building control, building regulations does put checks in place.
Yes.
But obviously, things have slipped through because, you know, the local authorities are overworked. I suppose these days one of the biggest developers in flats, and that would be housing associations.
One would hope they were building things properly. I think a lot of the issues that arose with Grenfell and the corners that could be cut amounted to build particular materials almost being given an automatic green light, despite the fact they really weren't safe. And I think the Building Safety Act tries to combat that by actually making sure these checks and balances are being followed up on and actually done, rather than going, oh, well, it's got that, so let's just tick the box and rush on.
I seem to recall there was something that one sort of cladding had been specified, which obviously met a British standard, and that the cladding that was put up did not meet the specifications.
Yes. And that is where the person accountable comes into play, because actually they're saying, well, you're the person responsible for making sure this is safe. If you have not done so, you are accountable. And hopefully, I mean, certainly if I was that person, then you can guarantee that I wouldn't want the sleepless nights associated with not doing my job properly. So I think that's the logic behind it, is making sure that there actually is somebody who is held accountable. And it's the companies doing the building in the first instance, and also the landlord, which is why these rules then don't apply where you've got a tenant-owned building.
Right.
Because, of course, if it's tenant-owned, the people who own the flats are also the ones who are responsible.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yes.
The other thing that you mentioned, inside London and outside of London, on one hand, for as far as financial liability is concerned, in the case of Grenfell and other flats, is that materials don't always come locally.
No.
Locally, they are made elsewhere in the country. Yeah. I'm just again going back to checks and balances.
I think the limits are more to do with the values of properties. Traditionally, London properties are considerably more expensive than an equivalent in, say, Birmingham, or say even, you know, somewhere in the middle of Tewkesbury, to pull a random town off the top of my head. I imagine that to get an equivalent flat in London is considerably more expensive. And again, I think it comes down to the government attempting to say, well, that the people living in London probably have slightly more spare money to contribute. Whether or not that's true or not is another question.
I think we can diverge slightly that we've got so many public workers on strike at the moment is because they can't afford the rent
exactly.
The properties they're in. And if they are renting properties and they come under this, you know, there's not going to be an extra money for landlords to claim.
No.
You know, rents are rising terribly in London.
Yeah. And the occupant of the flat doesn't have any protection because the protection is going to the owner of the flat. I suppose we can say, well, if there's caps on the amount of service charge for these remediation works, then the landlord can't pass on as much of the cost of service charges, etc., to the tenants. But again, it's very we've got many shades of grey.
Yes, and I think there's a bit of protection at the moment, but evictions may rise. So there is a housing crisis. This is doing something on one hand.
Yes.
But it's not protecting other people on the other hand.
No. There may be different legislation that does. And certainly anybody that is facing issues, landlord and tenant issues, I would always recommend, rather than hiding your head in the sand or necessarily battling it out without help, it's always worth speaking to experienced local solicitors or the Citizens Advice Bureau to get the help and protection that there is available at the moment.
Right, we're going to come back in a few minutes. We're going to have Ebony and Ivory from Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder and going up to the travel here on West Kent Radio.
Just don't forget me.
Don't forget me from Dermot Kennedy. Who was it again? Oh, he said, don't forget me. This is West Kent Today on 95.5, 106.7 FM, online, on your smart speaker, two tin cans and a piece of string. And I believe next week we're going semaphore from a tall building somewhere or other. Being the 14th of August, for those anoraks out there, we were thinking about doing an offshore broadcast from Dunorlan Park, but no, a bit too windy again today. Right, with me, Eleanor Lister from Berry & Lambert's Property. We've been talking about the new safety regulations in the wake of Grenfell, and we've covered, I think, most of it.
Yes, I don't want to send anyone to sleep, so.
So we're going to have a taste. And if you've got any questions for Eleanor on any subject to do with buying, selling property, or anything you're unsure about, email studio@westkentradio.co.uk, and we'll have a question and answer session next time. But that mocker's repeating. We're just going to do a recap on how the new building safety regulations can affect you. First of all, if you are a householder living in a house, you are not affected. If you are a tenant in a flat, then there are implications. But it depends on how tall your flat is and the height of from floor
to the top step of the stairs is probably the best way to try and describe it.
Was 21?
So it needs to be 11 metres.
11 metres. That was close.
Close enough.
Yeah. Not 11 feet. 11 metres.
Yeah.
So if from going from your front door up the steps to your landing is 11 metres, then that's fine. It's over.
Yeah, so if, and it's worth highlighting as well, by tenant, we're not talking about people who are renting from a commercial landlord. We're talking about being the owner of the leasehold flat. That's where the protections come in. And for those people, if your lease was granted before 22nd of February, 14th of February, getting Valentine's Day confused, 2022, at that point, if the building is owned by a separate landlord rather than by the leaseholders themselves, then there's some protections. If your building is either five stories tall or the height of the staircase effectively is 11 metres tall.
So this affects leaseholders
in tall buildings.
I'm just going to recap now. Have tenants got any protection?
So tenants, as in people with assured shorthold tenancies, who are what most people would consider renting off their landlord, they don't have protection under the Building Safety Act, but potentially their landlord who owns the flat does.
Right.
I
can see that. Was it Ruckmanism or that it used to be absent landlords and renting properties out cheap? They found a way around the regulations. Do you think there are enough safeguards to prevent landlords bamboozling their tenants?
So this is, I suppose, different to the absent landlord situation. Absent landlords can still be a problem, but it's quite uncommon now, and there are some protections for leaseholder flat owners. In terms of people renting on shorter leases, so your landlord and tenant that we think of, they do not have protection because the protection is offered to the flat owner rather than the person living in the flat.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much, Eleanor. And
that's
we look forward
pleasure.
To seeing you hopefully next month.
Yes.
And any questions or not for Eleanor, email me studio@westkentradio.co.uk.
Yep.
Otherwise, we'll make some up.
Yeah, we'll go. Yeah. See how we get on.
Yeah, okay.
I don't bite, though, so please do ask any questions that you do have.
Okay, thank you very much. We're going to go to... Oh, it's about you. Oh. It's Robbie Williams and Something Beautiful.